Welcome to another episode of the Apple Tech Facts Podcast. I am your host, Josh Linen, joined as always with me, my brilliant co-host, Mr. Seth Cruz. Our mission is to provide you with the latest in Apple and other tech headline news while diving into the why should I care on the subjects that we do cover. Our deep knowledge of the Apple ecosystem will help you quickly navigate our connected world. If you are new to the channel and you already have not done so, welcome. We are thrilled to have you. Please give us a subscribe if you have not done so already. Go follow us on X at Apple Tech Facts and on Threads and Instagram at Apple Tech Facts Pod. For now, I'm going to work on changing that with did some research into Instagram's inactivation policy.
Perfect.
Which says that it exists, but there is absolutely no timetable. So we're going to see how.
For now, like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell.
Yep. Getting right into it. First off, if you already have not been aware, Google is now enforcing an inactive policy of their own. That means that if there is an account that is dormant for the period of 2 years, it's going to be flagged and purged from the system. Which means that if you've been waiting on a handle or an email address that you've been wanting to get a hold of, you're now going to be able to likely get that handle because it's going to be purged from the system. Google will actually implement this upon the first purge. Will begin in December of this year, so you have about 6 months, 4 months to get that in line.
So December is when they will first implement this, where if I haven't used a website or I haven't used a login to Google
your Gmail account.
I have a spare Gmail account that has been sitting inactive, just receiving spam, but I have never logged into it.
Yep.
So you're saying if it's been receiving email, but I haven't been logging into it, it might get deleted.
It might get deleted.
And the only thing I have to do to preserve it is go log in.
Go log in once, and it resets the timer.
Awesome.
Yep. Next, and I have a feeling that Seth is going to be kind of excited about this one.
Well, WhatsApp has started rolling out. What they're rolling out is a feature that allows users to send high definition photos, and that uses low compression as well, so the quality is high. But to be able to send that through with their messages, yep. And the idea that you could actually do that isn't new, but it is new for WhatsApp.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So basically you're going to send high definition photos without taking up a lot of space is what that means. Next up, Apple Pencil functionality is getting compromised if you're taking your Apple Pencil in to get repaired, and if they have to use, or if your repair shop or self-repair has been using third-party replacement parts, it's going to compromise the device and you're pretty much SOL. So just something to be aware of. And really, this kind of draws a question to the whole right to repair.
You know, I watched a video of one of the YouTubers that does a lot of repairs. Mm-hmm. He's a guy out of Canada. And he actually discovered that if you did a back glass replacement on a phone, that if you didn't retain the original wireless charging module, then the flash, when you take a picture with flash, it won't save to your photo reel.
Jeez.
If you put the original back on, then it starts saving those. Only when you use the flash.
Only when you use the flash.
So there's a little, I don't know what you want to call it, that they're crippling your device if you do any replacements. And also, when I took my phone in for a battery repair, they actually did tell me, you know, if we determine that you've had this repaired with non-Apple parts, we won't do the fix. We'll just put it all back together and give it back to you unrepaired. So, you know, I have all original parts, so I was not bothered by that.
Right.
But if somebody had gone to a place and gotten a different screen or anything internally, it would be undetectable, right?
Right.
But Apple would know when they take it apart because they'd run it through their system of analyzing.
Yep.
And they'd figure it out. So that is definitely something that is going, we're going to continue to see this, the Apple Pencil being just the latest example.
Yep, exactly.
Where, okay, you did something to your iPad and now your pencil doesn't work, right?
Yep, like, exactly. And I'll throw this in as a tip for you guys out there. If, as far as repairs are concerned for your Apple devices, if you're kind of straining on your budget and you are able to find something that is like a cheap repair, then that's kind of one of those scenarios that's actually going to be probably too good to be true type of scenarios, where you're going to get those third party parts and it's going to compromise your device. So when you do have to actually have Apple get it repaired the next time, because it's going to break and it most likely will, they're not going to be able to help you out because of that third party repair with the cheaper price. Or so
you get what you pay for, basically.
You get what you pay for. Just be cautious.
Now, as long as we're talking about repair, so I let my passengers in my Uber use an iPad to pick their music.
Right.
Right? And I'm told over and over that that's crazy. Right? And I pulled this out of my computer bag at work the other day, and there was a giant crack up the screen.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, no.
And that's your new one, too.
And this is the new one. And then I got to looking at it, and there was a little tiny spot at the bottom of the screen where something had fallen on it, and then it had cracked up along one edge.
Wow.
And I got to looking at this. Of course, my heart sank. And I was so upset. And then I went, wait a minute. I have cover glass on here. And I peeled it off, and it was just the screen protector was broken, not the screen itself. So if you are going to do anything, invest in screen protectors for your devices.
Yep.
Because it absolutely saved a $1,000 iPad. Well, not $1,000, but anyway, an expensive iPad from whatever got dropped on it. And if you get a cheap screen, to his, what he was saying, and there are a lot of repair companies out there that use cheaper device parts. My personal experience with one of my kids was, we went with a less expensive screen for a repair to their phone because, of course, it was all cracked and broken.
Right.
Looked fantastic for 1 week, and then they dropped it again. And I mean, it broke immediately after they dropped it. So those cheaper screens are definitely more susceptible to breakage.
Right.
Than, I mean, think about, yes, I understand, you can drop your phone and it'll break the first time. But a lot of times people drop their phones and nothing happens.
Right.
Right. Because Apple's using a higher quality part.
Right.
The same is going to be true for the parts inside of the phone, where it's not necessarily even the dropping. It's just that they wear out or stop working randomly, where the parts tested by Apple tend to not do that.
Right.
So anyway, I just think that
get
cover glass.
I'm glad that you brought that up too.
Yeah. Get cover glass. It'll have screen protectors. It'll absolutely help. And buy the OEM or original Apple certified parts.
Yep.
When you go somewhere, don't let them talk you into, well, we have this one that's only $20 instead of $100. Too good to be true.
Yep.
You get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
So, moving on.
Good information. Moving on. Seth, tell me about what we're getting, or what was discovered about the Vision Pro TV.
So, in the demo for the Vision Pro, they talked about 3D movies.
Yes.
And they gave the example that with Vision Pro, you'd be able to watch TV shows, or movies, I should say, that would be presented to you in three dimensions.
Right.
And you can't go to Sam's Club, Walmart, Best Buy. You really, there's very few places left you can go where you can buy something, a display that includes 3D. Right. They'll all do 4K, right. But 3D is really limited. Now, my TV's a few years old. It does 3D and 4K, but you can't, it's a Sony, and you can't find, unless you go to a projector, you cannot get 3D and 4K anymore in a TV.
Right.
That's how they made the TVs. You can go somewhere and buy a 60-inch television for like $399. That's how they did it. They got rid of the expensive 3D because you have to have the 3D player. You have to buy the 3D. Well, you have to buy the 3D discs. You have to have a 3D television. You have to have the version. You have to have the glasses. You have to have the version of the cable that supports from the and your receiver. Everything. Yep. Everything has to be 3D enabled. Okay, so
a lot of hassle
in that. Now, alternatively, if you are to use the Apple TV, you noticed that a while back, and I went through the bargain bins and got the Blu-ray versions of movies for $3.99.
Right.
And then
still great value even in 2023.
Absolutely. If it's a $5 movie or a $3 movie, whatever it was.
Three movies for $5.
Mm-hmm. And then when I plugged in the code into the Apple TV, it gave me the 4K version of the movie. So fantastic, right? So it uplifted my purchase.
Yeah, added value.
And that meant that if I was using an Apple TV to view the movie, I got the best version of the movie.
Yep.
But what's been missing from not only Apple TV, but everybody
platform,
is 3D. They don't upgrade you to 3D. Now, if I want to buy Wreck-It Ralph in 3D, I got to buy the Japanese version of the disc on Amazon or eBay and pay $100 for the movie.
And have the voiceovers.
Just to get a 3D version of the movie, right? Like, it doesn't it's not just there, and you can't just go to Best Buy here in America and buy it.
Yep.
And so Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D,
yep,
the latest one, they're not selling it in the United States. I wish they would. Maybe they will.
It's bigger over in Japan.
Germany, other places in Europe, it's really big. Yep. So anyway, with Vision Pro, they announced 3D, and I got really excited about that because why does that matter? Well, I have a 3D television.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 3D television and you have a large movie library, I have over 200 movies.
Yep.
Imagine if even, I don't know, half of those got uplifted to 3D.
That's prolonging the life of that by 10 years at least.
So, and they may only do it if there was a 3D version of the movie.
Major movies, probably.
Because it would need to be filmed in 3D. There was a 3D conversion.
There's a whole lens. In
the right, there's a whole deal that goes around
that's
it.
That's right.
So, it's not going to be every movie ever made. But if...
So, what you're telling me is you're probably not going to buy a Vision Pro just for the 3D movies.
You know, if I were a person who has a full setup, which I do, of 3D in my house, then I'm very excited at the uplift, and it'll probably keep me paying or maybe even paying a little extra, right, for the 3D version. Apple TV version.
So $1.99 would be worth it to you, or $2-3 would be worth it to you just to get that upgrade maybe?
I'm hoping it's 99 cents a month, right? I mean...
We'll see.
I'm not sure that $4 a month would be worth it to me, but $1 a month would be.
Sure.
That's fair. But we'll see.
They got to cover their costs.
Bottom line is, if I could just have my whole movie catalog be upgraded where available to 3D, one, anybody without a Vision Pro that can take advantage of it with their 3D television will be thrilled. And then what will happen is my 3D television will die. They won't make anything in 3D. Apple has a Vision Pro with 3D. They're going to have probably the Vision non-Pro in a year or two for a lot less.
It looks like they're working on an alternative version.
And suddenly a consumer lower-end one for $500 is going to seem like, okay, this is interesting now.
Yeah.
Especially if, let's say, you're already getting the glasses, but I have to wear the glasses over top of my glasses.
Right.
If I could take my glasses off and just wear the Vision Pro, and which they're talking about being able to do,
right,
then that's huge. That's a big deal for you.
So, right.
Anyway, those are the things that are coming with the soonest thing is that they'll introduce 3D to everybody, and I'm excited at the idea that they'll probably do that. The reason I think it'll happen is Avatar in Part 2 in 3D. Yes, they released it to everybody,
but
they showed it in the demo for the Vision Pro, which makes me think that that's going to be the first movie to get it.
Probably. That makes sense. Stands to reason. So
the other thing that I think Disney Plus will probably, if they don't end up being bought by Apple in the meantime,
rumors
that they will introduce they've always embraced 3D, even Beauty and the Beast and
already started this process of probably upgrading it, like in the background. We just don't know about it. They probably started this process years ago.
But again, that would be another one that's really talking about having a big presence on the Vision Pro.
Yep.
That it would make a lot of sense for them to have their movie catalog be in 3D.
Yep.
And I guarantee you Disney's going to charge extra for that.
Oh, absolutely. And they're going to have to.
And they'll probably charge too much, and they won't get many people, and then they'll introduce a lower tier. But anyway.
Yep. As far as this higher tier is concerned, I've actually changed my mind. I'm actually going to get one.
Okay.
Only caveat is,
okay,
I'm not opening it up.
Oh, you want to just use it as a collector's item, huh?
Collector's item, maybe flip it in 10 years. History has showed us the Apple products, first versions of new hardware.
Yeah, you want to get the $50,000. Honestly, dude, if you can make that work and you can not open the box, and like
the temptation of opening that box is going to be so bad.
Not only that, but then you have to make sure it stays pristine. Hold it in some special vacuum sealed.
Dust on it, otherwise it's going to degrade it and all that.
Anyway, if you can do it, more power to you.
But the key word is if.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
But anyway, that's what's coming with Vision Pro, and the Apple TV movies, hopefully. Well, it's more than a rumor. Let's put it that way.
Yep. Because they haven't announced it. Next up, Apple breaks its own store rules, app store rules, by allowing single letters to be used by X, or Elon Musk's X platform now. We'll see how long that lasts for, if they're going to enforce the App Store rules on them, or if Elon's going to have to pay a massive fine. We don't know, but I am curious on this one, and I'm going to keep my fingers on the pulse on this one, as it is the primary way to really kind of communicate with us is through X. So that's why I urge you guys to, you know, go follow us on there. So I'm definitely going to keep my fingers on that pulse on there, and report back to you guys.
Absolutely.
What we got next, Seth?
So, another thing that I actually really think is interesting is it popped up when I brought up Apple Music the other day, but it was a discovery channel, if you will.
Yep.
And this used to be one of the defining reasons people went with Spotify. So, having this over on Apple Music will allow for people that are used to the feature in Spotify to move over to using the Apple Music product.
Yep.
It also means existing Apple Music product users now have an additional feature, another reason that they might stay
to it. Yep.
And I have to say that it's spot on as far as playing the right songs. I'm going to have to try it out with the passengers in my car, because I'm telling you, man, they're playing stuff I would never think of.
I know.
Go. This is not going to get us flagged on YouTube. Go check out the song Laboratory. I don't know who it's by, but it's absolutely 3 minutes of just garbage words.
I can't. I know. I'm not gonna do it.
It's just just 3 minutes of crap. Nonsense words with a beat behind it, and it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Point being is that's not something that would surface on my Discover, but if it was something that I enjoyed listening to,
it's gonna know.
Then it knows, and it would surface more of those songs, and so. You know, I hand this off and let people pick their music. I'm totally tanking the AI that's built into it because now it's playing, you know, Molly Cyrus by Stitches followed by WAP and then back to Britney Spears. And I'm like, I don't listen to any of these songs.
So
but
maybe what Apple needs to do is maybe something they can add in iOS 18 is a profile.
Right
to Apple
right.
to the Apple Music app, so that he could have you like you could have your guest or your guest profile on there that would have its own Discovery station,
right?
And then you can maintain
well,
your own because this thing is it. You're right. It is spot on.
It's spot on. Miss.
It's so such a fantastic thing that it's something that I never knew that I needed it.
So, one of the things that that companies, whether it's TikTok or YouTube and now Apple are doing is they're actually looking at so many different aspects. How long did you stay on the video? How many times did you watch the video? Same things are going to be true for music, right?
Absolutely.
And something that I noticed recently on YouTube, and maybe it's always been there, but I just noticed it. It started surfacing other videos that I like based on the time of day. So if at a certain time of day I watch political videos or the news, then that's what it's surfacing.
Right.
And later in the day when I'm trying to go to sleep, maybe I'm watching a video about how my learning thermostat works, right?
Hmm.
And so it surfaces more of those videos instead.
Interesting.
So
I bet there's other platforms doing that too.
So I think that when you're listening to music, there's also room for it to think about which device you're listening to it from and what time of day.
Mm-hmm.
And are you in the car or are you at home? Are you at work? Right? All of these things that don't necessarily seem related but matter when you're listening to music no different than when you're consuming other forms of content matter. I just think there's a lot of room for that. It's super powerful. Look for it. Try it out. Let us know in the comments what you think.
Absolutely.
But I think that this thing is going to absolutely be something that you wouldn't think you needed, but you'll immediately notice and wish you had it if you switch to a non-Spotify or a non-Apple Music system.
Right.
SoundCloud.
Pandora. If those exist anymore, which I don't, I'm sure they do, but
they do.
They're in lower forms. Moving on, and something that I was absolutely astounded by was Goldman Sachs reported that there has already been about $10 billion in user deposits from Apple's savings account that was just launched back in, April, I think?
Yeah.
And the fact that people are not keeping money in banks anymore.
Right.
But people are opening up these savings accounts, which literally, as we stated on previous episode when it first released, was it takes 2 seconds to set up.
Right.
And it's so easy and it's automatic that it's set it and forget basically at this point. And people probably don't even realize how much they have, or they're probably not even checking it.
Right.
Which it's, in case you don't know, you are going to get about a 4.15% yield on that savings account, which is absolutely just astonishing and pretty much beats every bank for, as far as savings accounts
are
concerned.
Well, let's put it this way. A while back, Apple crossed the billion device threshold of having that many active devices in the wild. It's way higher than that now.
Yes.
But if you had a billion devices and every one of those had $10 in their savings account, that would be $10 billion.
Yeah.
So it's really just a numbers game at this point. It's okay, I have, you know, a I have 500 million users that have an account and they have $20 or whatever it is, right? That as Goldman Sachs is offering or linking up these accounts, the amount of money doesn't have to be a lot per person for it to really add up. That's all.
That makes sense. That does make sense. And that just goes down to also states how many people have this Apple Card as well. Because that's the only way you can get it is if you have the Apple Card. So it's pretty interesting stuff,
man. Which there aren't a billion users with the Apple Card. But I'm just saying, as an example, it's a numbers game. It doesn't take a lot to get there.
Yep. You're right. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about some AI stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times people talk about Apple and say that they're behind the game or they're not with it. And people like Google and Microsoft that are out front talking about Bard or the ChatGPT 4.5 or whatever, they're talking about different versions of the environments that are out there and saying how great our system is or will be. And Apple has taken a different approach. They're looking at how do I make Siri unbelievably good. We haven't experienced that yet, but that's where it's headed. Is being able to just say the magic word and have it immediately tell you something, and to be able to have a regular language conversation with your smart speaker in a way that we've not been able to do before, where it could look at context clues. Oh, I'm in the car and I'm driving and it's after work and I appear to be heading home, right? Like, hey, tell my wife, you know, blah, 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 or hey, what's for dinner or whatever, right? Like, I can't even think of how it will influence things, but I guarantee you it will. Yep. And AI is an area that Apple has invested, was it $23 billion or something like that?
Close.
Unbelievable the amount of investment that they're doing in AI, but they're just not making it front and center where you hear about it. But they've been doing this for years,
right?
Years and years they've been doing this. I mean, if you think about the computational trickery that goes into making pictures good or not blurry, or there's just so many things that we assume our phones will just do, that's all based on artificial intelligence.
Yep. And so, there's so many different types of platforms out there. I didn't realize how vast it was until literally this morning, as I was looking up different platforms for generative AI. And that's what we're talking about here, and that's what OpenAI's platform is generative AI. So it generates something for you based off a prompt or a command that you give it. And there's what I didn't even realize was that there's even like image generators, AI image generator apps in the Apple App Store that you could download. You give it the prompt, it'll generate the image off of you based off a text. So there's a lot of different platforms out there that are better than ChatGPT. And they are in trouble. They are big time.
ChatGPT is in trouble because it costs some money. Because
it costs them about 30, 34 cents per query. And that's not good for OpenAI, where it's already behind on the free version. And people are, unless you're really a content creator or you're a professional of some sort, it really is hard to justify needing to pay $20 a month for that
right now,
that experience, at least, you know, right now. So it is something that I, you know, and ChatGPT is there also in AI is also OpenAI is actually in trouble as well.
Sure.
Because they got cited when they were
learning of stealing it
for copyright information. So they may have to strip all of that and start over anyways, at which point, if they do, this would make a great opportunity for Apple to purchase OpenAI. And that way they have all that legality stuff out the way and clear, and they can start clear and use it to integrate into Siri.
So go down this rabbit hole if you want to, but if you search, there are stories where somebody asks the AI if you were going to take over the world, how would you do it? And they give a full story that's extremely concerning and scary. You know, it starts out with compromising a Roomba or something like that and taking over the world. And then at some point deciding they didn't need humans anymore. And so, anyway, there are valid reasons if you watch like the robot, the combat robots and things like that, that some of the people are making where they can walk and run and shoot a gun and do all these backflips and oh my gosh. There is a real need for there to be some kind of legislation around
what is possible.
And there's talks about there should be a pause. So I'm actually okay that Apple is taking a very deliberate and slow approach because I think that in some other companies' zeal or eagerness to be first, they are leaving open the door for this technology to really do things that we're not ready for it to do.
Exactly.
So anyway, watch for your Siri to get really good. Watch for other things to just become amazing.
Yep.
And as an example, AI is already being used by people that are posting job offerings, by people writing their resumes.
Yep.
You know, and it doesn't mean write my resume for me. It means take this that I wrote and make it
better,
really good.
Yep.
Josh has played around with just taking our show notes and running it through AI.
Yep.
And what was your experience with running some of the show notes? Some of them made us laugh.
Yes. Some things we tweaked around. We played around, you know, with it, obviously, on the free version. And, you know, just wanted to say that's the utility in OpenAI is that we have that ability. And that's a use case for us as to where we can play around with our mission statement or our intro to our podcast. And
but wasn't it really amazing, like the quality that came out of it?
Yes, it added the meat to my bones of of our notes, basically.
Absolutely.
What it did. And I've been using it, you know, I've, like I said, you know, playing around with it. Like this morning, I even used it to say, hey, give me a simple at-home workout that focuses on getting rid of my beer gut.
Sure.
And it prompt, after I gave it the prompt, it took 20 seconds.
Don't drink
beer. And there I had a whole simple at-home workout that includes not drinking beer, obviously, nutrition-based.
To get rid of the beer gut, just switch to hard alcohol or something different, right?
You know, that it's that and other things, other factors. So
Don't do that.
Short-term or long-term results type of thing.
Awesome.
It gave me a simple at-home workout that I'm going
to try.
But again, there is utility in it, so don't be afraid to use it, at least in a limited capacity.
Here's what I would look for. Autocorrect that just works.
Yep.
That stops getting things wrong. That's how AI can be inserted or injected into our everyday use without realizing that AI is behind that, because it could look at what you're saying, and which is what autocorrect does. That is a form of AI. But if it could suddenly get it right every time, you know, and I just think that those are the ways that we're going to see Apple introduce their version of improved ChatGPT, Bard, whatever AI,
whatever they use,
into the phone system is going to be in ways where they're not going to call it AI necessarily in the sense that Apple and Google have, but yet they're going to introduce things where, whether it's Siri or autocorrect or some other feature with the phone or with the camera, they're just going to introduce these things. And behind the scenes, what's powering it will be AI.
Yep.
That's why you have certain engines built into the CPUs of your phones that are specifically around logic core, which is AI.
Yep.
It's around being fast at processing things that a neural network needs to be able to do.
Right.
So anyway, very, very exciting information around AI. It's impressive to see that Apple is investing so much in it.
Yes.
And I think that what we see over the next 5 years is not going to be just the next one little, two little, three little steps. I think we're going to see leaps and bounds of performance, of capability, everything around that. So I'm excited as long as they don't take over the world.
As long as they don't take over the world. There are no details. No peeking in the brain going on over here. But if you guys made it to the end, we really want to know your thoughts on how do you feel about AI and where it's at now versus where is it going to go? Are you scared of it? Are you excited for it? Let us know in the comments. I definitely want to get into this on a deeper level with you guys.
Absolutely.
So leave that comment in at the end. If you made it to the end, put a raise your hand emoji in there. And we appreciate your time. And we'll see you guys next week.